This is exciting, though. This many of us here, you know, praise God. And we probably know that there's been probably many more that would like to come, but some people have to work and other things. But praise God, we're here. You received a little booklet on your way in. And I want to thank Sarah, especially for helping me put this together. Great job, Sarah. Yes. She is the graphics goddess. If there was such a thing, she would be the graphics goddess. Okay. But there isn't, so sorry. You can't have that title. But anyway, so as you go through this, you'll see kind of an itinerary of this morning. And there are little spaces you can write some of the things that we're going to go over, just to kind of keep you tuned in, dialed into what we're doing this morning. Want to also thank Justin for putting this all together and a lot of the technical things. And all of you who prepared food this morning, it was awesome, great eggs, fantastic. And the oatmeal, my goodness, that was like stellar. That was a dessert, whatever that was. It was wonderful. But all the things, and thanks so much, everyone, and Paul for leading this. And so this morning we're digging in, and you could see the schedule here, and we're going to be talking about the Bible and how to get the most out of the Bible and how to understand our Bible. Digging into God's Word, how to understand God's Word. And you've heard of the acronym, the Bible, Believer's Instructions Before Leaving Earth, okay? Some people say basic instructions. I don't think they're very basic, but they're the believers. But really, the Bible, you know, knowing the Word is so critical. And so I'm just going to spend a few minutes, and I'm going to try this this clicker right from up here. But we're going to first just talk about why it's so important to study the Word. So once again, Lord, thank you that you're here. Lord, we ask this morning to be seamless because, Lord God, there is no division in you. There's no separation. You are just so whole. So, Lord God, we ask that this morning be so wholly simple about your Word and about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So why is the Bible so important to us? Page 2. Because God's Word cleanses us from thinking like the world. If anybody doesn't have a pen, I have one here. But does everyone have a pen, hopefully? Okay. If you don't, let me know. But the Word of God cleanses us from thinking like the world, cleanses our thoughts. And I just want to show a couple of verses up here. Let me try this, see if it's working yet. Oh, it's on. There we go. Okay. So Ephesians 5, we read this quite often in weddings, how, you know, husbands cleanse your wives just as Christ cleansed the church. But just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And David wrote this, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Word of God really cleanses us from this worldly thinking, doesn't it? I remember when I first got saved and I was talking to Ron, my father-in-law, and my brother-in-law, Jerry, and we were somewhere in Lancaster. And as we're talking, I started talking about evolution as if it were fact. Now, I went through 12 years of Catholic education, and I still thought evolution was fact. I don't know if you've ran into that, but it's as if it's religion to, like, the world. Like, and I just thought for some reason that it's silly not to believe we came from apes. Everybody knows that. And as the two of them started, you know, gently saying, it's a theory of evolution, I said, oh, yeah. And as the more I got to know the Word, I'm like, that is such ludicrous to think that we came from animals, from beasts. That's just an example of how the Word of God really shows us the foolishness of this world, doesn't it? Because the Word of God cleanses our thinking. We have to detox from the thoughts and the ways of this world, don't we? And the next thing, because the Word of God causes us to think, once again, think and live God's way. God's way, you can fill in God's way there. Isaiah 55:8 says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." Oh, I have to do it. That's right, I keep forgetting. The power is in my hand, and I'm dropping the ball. I can't blame it on anybody back there. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can think, well, that's kind of a bummer, isn't it? His ways and his thoughts are so higher, we can't reach them. But we know that's not true because he gives us his word. And we go on to verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So God's word is a way that we can think like him. In fact, when he wrote to the Corinthians, a church that was so messed up, so corrupt, so in so many sexually immoral ways and everything, at the end of the letter he says, "But we have the mind of Christ." Like, it's there, you know, in the Word of God. He wants us to have his thoughts and his mind. And the next thing, because God's word guides our thoughts and actions. You know, when we absorb God's word, it trains us on how to think and how to act. Because let's face it, you know, as a man thinks, so is he. If you could train the mind to think God's ways, right, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that we could prove God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. But the Word of God, as it transforms our mind, then we act differently too, because our actions are really an effect from how we think. And we have 2 Timothy chapter 3, and yes, I will do it. There we go. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God and woman of God may be complete." When they say man in the Bible, we know that's the overall humanity. It's not, of course, just talking about men. "The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." You know, knowledge puffs up. Just knowing things in the Bible really just puffs our thinking up, that we think we know all these things. Unless we put it into action, what is it, right? That's why James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And this here says, the Word of God is profitable to train our thinking so that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work, you know, because the way we think is the way we live. And the next thing, because God's word nourishes our souls. And of course, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and the Holy Spirit led him out to the desert where Satan would tempt him for 40 days, not just the end of the 40 days, he tempted him for 40 days. And the first thing he, at the end, the kind of the grand finale of temptation, is he said, "If you are truly the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread." And how did Jesus respond? "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And think about this. The last thing he heard his father say is, "Behold my son in whom I am well pleased." He heard that he is the Son of God. So he remembered the word so that he could respond when Satan is tempting him right out in the desert and say, "You know you're hungry." He goes, no, "I am feeding on what my father said about me. You're tempting me to question who I am. I am feeding on who my father said I am. I am his son in whom he is well pleased," you know? The Word of God really nourishes our souls so we can live on the Word of God. In fact, remember when he was speaking to the woman at the well and they all came in there and he says, you know, "My food," because he had been very hungry, and they came and he goes, "We brought food." And he says, "Well, my food is to do my Father's will." You know, it's the Word of God feeds our souls. That's why quite often Fasting is very profitable because when you fast, you're basically shutting down the cravings of your flesh so that your soul can crave after God, you know? And then finally on this page, because God's word brings prosperity. By the way, I have a number of verses listed in these sections, and there's so many verses, that, especially that talk about prosperity. But for the sake of time and for attention span for all of us, I just limit it to one verse typically for each category. But the word of God brings prosperity into our lives. And Joshua 1:8. As he was entering the promised land with God's people, the Lord was preparing him, and he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." You know, to live a successful and prosperous life, to know the word, the Lord guides us in those things. And it doesn't always mean money. You know, a lot of times prosperity gospel gets such a bad rap because, you know, maybe people in the past have used it to take funds from the congregation, say, "You will be blessed a hundredfold." Well, you really will, won't you? Not necessarily money, but the joy that comes from what you give to God. He says he will multiply a hundredfold. Remember, his disciples even said, "We've given up everything to follow you." And he said, "You will be multiplied a hundredfold, both in this days and the days to come." You know, and really the joy we receive from learning the word of God and following it and living according to it, we see blessings. Now, some of us may say, "Well, yeah, but I've been following the word of God." I know countless believers whose children have lives that are a real train wreck at times, you know? And they're saying, "I did everything I did. I trained them up in the way that they should go." And, you know, the word says they will return. Well, I believe they will return. And all that seed was planted for a purpose, and they still have it. And we say, "Well, then what did I do? I did exactly what God told me to do." Well, his promises are always yes and amen, but we can't control other people, right? We just can't. You know, the enemy has his hold. In fact, there's a verse that says, "The world is under the sway of the wicked one." And, you know, that includes everyone. So we know that if we follow God's word, we will be prosperous and successful in all that we do when we put our hand to the plow. Amen. And so as we go into page 2, and now we're going to get into kind of practical things, you know, getting the most of our time in the Word. And I asked Alex to come up and share. We're going to go over basically 4 categories: praying, reading, meditating, and journaling. And as Alex is coming up, I just want to show this one next verse. There we go, Ephesians 6, verse 17 and 18. And the word, you know this familiar, of course, this is the full armor of God. But it says, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." He's going to talk about prayer, but just think about this, that the sword is our weapon. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is what we use against the enemy, just like Jesus did in the wilderness. But also the sword is a tool as well. And I remember sorry, I told you to come up so early. Here, you can hang out here for a minute. I remember being in the Dominican on a missions trip, and we hired a carpenter to help build this little shack, which was their house in the Dominican. And this carpenter showed up with a machete. And we're like, "All right, where's the hammer, the nail? What are you going to do with that?" Well, they do everything with that. A machete, okay? With a machete, they chopped down the branches. With a machete, they shaved off bark to make the ties. And they basically built a whole frame for a house with a machete. And in the same way, the Word of God, it not only destroys the work of the enemy, but it also builds us up. And that's why the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. But I asked Alex to share about praying before we delve into the Word. So please share, Alex. Let's give him a little...
Bonjour. I have a little verse that I want to share with you. That's one of them that Chris took from me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I guess everybody can use it. There's no... So, Psalms 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of your law." So, in other words, the Bible is a different book than all other books. The Bible is God's word, and it is alive. It's not just information. It is a living book. And the only way to understand it, it's with the author, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to open our eyes to understand. What's the difference between information and revelation? Information tries to bring behavior modification. Revelation brings transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that means, in other words, a change from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, and the result will be the right behavior. That verse again. Where it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then a lot of times, since it's another verse, we kind of like stop there when we learn about the armor of God. But there's just the comma, which is praying at all times in the Spirit. I find it myself, when I the more I pray in the Spirit, the more revelations I have, and the more God, like, wow. And one example I want to give, back in the days when I was young in college and started to encounter God in real ways, and I thought, like, wow, that's awesome. And I wanted to be a good Christian, and I had the information how a good Christian has to live, right? The fruits of the Spirit, joyful, peaceful, like doing the right things, never lying and stuff like that. And then you like kind of look specially on your shortcomings, on your sins, like, I'm never going to do that again. I'm going to be a good Christian. And I concentrate so much on this until I start reading Galatians 5, verse 16, I believe, where it says, "Live by the Spirit and you will overcome the desires of the flesh." And this is like, I was praying and seeking God, and suddenly God revealed something to me. By the way, this word says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Greek word there is rhema. There are two different words for word in the New Testament. It's logos and rhema. Logos is the written Word of God, is the information. Rhema is the revealed Word of God. Revelation brings transformation by the power of the Spirit. Amen. So you can have the information how to live right, but the information will puff you up. The information will try to modify your behavior, but without power. When the Holy Spirit comes in and brings revelation, you read the Word of God and you ask God for revelation, then it becomes rhema in your life, God's directly spoken word to you. This is why the Word of God is alive.
Amen.
So it speaks right into your life situation. So I had the situation in my life where I wanted to be a good Christian. I was looking at at my life, and I didn't want to sin. So I said, God, and I'm never going to do it again. I was concentrating so much and then seeking God, and God revealing me, Galatians 5, live by the Spirit and you will overcome these desires. So instead of looking just on my sins or whatever, look up to me. Have fellowship with me. What I was trying to do, I was trying to produce by the information I had how a Christian should live, the fruits of the Spirit. So I was looking at joy, at peace, and all these things, and I was like, oh, grow, and nothing happened. And I felt like I got frustrated. And then when God revealed this word became alive, suddenly there was a power from the inside out.
Amen.
That suddenly these things weren't a problem anymore. Because if a tree, when it produces an apple, it doesn't pushes really hard. It just enjoys the sunlight and some water. All we need is the Holy Spirit asking him for revelation. Then this word that is written becomes revelation in your life, and revelation brings transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there is a change from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is doing the work just by looking at him. So about this point, just to summarize, like, we gotta ask God for revelation, that he would open our eyes so it would bring transformation from the inside out.
Yeah.
Not just information, knowing like, all right, this is how a Christian has to live, so this is what I'm going and I'm trying to go, and that's gonna get frustrating over time. Mm-hmm. That's my point.
All right.
8 minutes are up.
Thank you, Alex. And, you know, if you get into practice of praying before, you're reading the Word, but it's so important, because the Spirit knows how to use the Word of God, doesn't he? And so the next thing, I asked Dan to come forward and talk to us about reading and different ideas about reading the Word. And so come on up, Dan. Let's give him a nice shout out. Stuff. There you
go. Welcome, everybody. Good to see familiar faces here. I just want to pray. I feel the need for the Holy Spirit to move through the words that he will have by faith through me. And that, so anyways, Father, I just thank you for today. Holy Spirit, we welcomed you earlier in our worship, and we continue to welcome you. We continue to ask you to move through our hearts. It is you, Holy Spirit, that you know the thoughts and the intentions of the Father, and that you can reveal those thoughts and intentions as you have through your Word and through the Spirit that is within us. So I rely upon you this morning to do your work, to do your will, and that there would be, whether it's through this teaching, whether it's through ones before or after, I just pray that there would be something that you would lay upon the hearts of your people that would be like a stone thrown into a lake that creates a rippling effect, and it just goes on and on and on. And so, Father, just do it. You desire to bless us, and just bless us with more of you today for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just interesting how the scriptures that were shared, those were, I mean, there's just a kind of a similar thought process through some of the things that I want to share. But I want to begin just with a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled, sorry, I don't have it up there, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So what I believe we're seeing here is that as we see, as we read God's Word, as we're into God's Word, and we see the glory of Jesus Christ through his Word, we actually become transformed also as we see his beauty and his majesty. The Bible says you've been transformed from faith to faith, strength to strength, glory to glory. So the Word of God is so powerful that we need to, as we read it and as we see Christ throughout Scriptures, there's a transformation that happens. And so I just wanted to lay that down. And that's the way I look at God's Word. I try to see Jesus Christ through everything and believe that God is making those changes in my life. Ephesians 1:17, it was also, actually that was not shared, but it says that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened. And it continues on why. But that God would give us wisdom and revelation. We need the wisdom and revelation. As Alex was sharing, you know, the Ramos, the revelation word being revealed to us. That is so critical, so that we can see Jesus and see him who he truly is. And it's just not reading the Word, but it's asking him for that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then these two verses were already shared, but Ephesians 5:26, that he may sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the Word, so that he may present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. My view of Scripture is everything is for the glory of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We need to see the glory of Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. It is throughout the Scripture, and that's really the prize, to see Him, because as we see Jesus in the Scriptures and see the glory that abides within Him, then that's going to begin to truly work and transform our hearts. So that's just a quick basis for when I get into God's Word, what I look for, what I desire to have the outcome to be, is to see the glory of God. And so I'm supposed to really be speaking about how the reading the Word, and as you see in the first section, it says, in the read section on page 4, set time to be clear-minded and undistracted and prepared to absorb. So it's important if the Bible says pray without ceasing, right? And so wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can have fellowship with the Father. We can have fellowship with the Father through the Word. We can have fellowship with the Father through prayer. But it is important if you can have a clear mind and you can set aside a specific time where you can get alone with the Lord. When I was thinking about doing this and when Chris asked me, it's like, I'm not going to be telling you anything you don't already know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's truly what I was feeling. But what I believe God can do is, though it is common to all of us, I believe there can be the impartation, and that God can impart something to you that would be that stone in the lake that would continue to ripple on in your life. And so I just wanted to make that clear. So just a quick personal testimony for me. I don't really separate the Word of God and prayer. I keep those together as much as possible. It's very unusual for me to be in a time where I'm by myself, where I can have my Bible in my lap, and then I basically use the Bible as we learned about the sword. It's our offensive weapon. I pray the Word of God. Often I'll pray through Psalms 119, and I'll pray it, and I pray it over my family, my friends, whomever God puts on my heart, but I speak the Word of God into people's life. So I think for me, it's hard when I had this assignment, prayer and Word and the Word, they're really close to me. Now, there are times when I study the Word and I'm not necessarily praying for people, but you ask God for wisdom. But a lot of times, the Word of God, when I go to the Father and I have fellowship with Him, I'm speaking back His Word, and His Word is His will. And so I can have confidence that what I'm asking Him, it's in His Word. And so then there are some Bible tools that you can use. And of course, these are common to you, sermons, commentaries. And I think Jill's got a whole bunch here that she's going to share with you. One of my favorites is Matthew Henry. I really enjoy Matthew Henry. And I also have a Rye commentary, Bible commentary that's helpful. And just to encourage you, there may be sermons out there that are very helpful for you, maybe listening to one you've heard from Chris, or maybe there's other preachers that you enjoy listening to, but if there's a topic or there's something you want to hear specifically, there's a lot of resources out there, and I'm inspired by a lot of different resources that the Lord has provided for us to use. Now, the last thing, there's quality and quantity. Reading for quantity brings awareness, and quality causes change. I think quality and quantity, I think that could be reversed too. I'm not necessarily set that if you that quantity necessarily will not give you revelation. So I think the important thing is God's Word is alive and active. It's the only book that has ever been said in this world from day one that is active and alive. And so God's Word will change and affect our hearts, whether you read through a chapter or whether you read through a verse. But there are benefits in doing both. God may just speak to you about a specific verse, and that may go with you for the rest of the day, and that may be your inspiration. Or you may have read a whole passage, and the Lord may use that as you are walking throughout your day. So I think there you can be used on both sides. And so what I just encourage folks to do, if this is something that God would put on your heart, and I'm going to have a sign-up sheet, but there's the Discipleship Journal Bible Reading Plan. And I was inspired by this assignment, and my wife and I were going to go through this plan together next year. But it's 25 readings per day, and it will take you through the whole Bible in 1 year. So if you miss a day or you miss a couple days, you still have, depending on what the month is, if it's February, you're going to only have potentially 3 days or 4 days. Did I get it right? 25, yeah. 4 days if it's the 29 days in a month. But anyways, the point is that you can catch up. And so if you're interested in this, this goes through 2 Old Testament readings a day and 2 New Testament readings per day. I'm going to order a bunch of these. So if you want, because they're copy, they have a copyright on them, if you're interested in going through the Bible, I thought a group of us, if you're interested, we could do that. And maybe mid-year, we could get together and talk about what God's doing in our hearts. And then at the end of the year, those that have gone through the Bible completely, we could get together for kind of a celebration party. We all like parties. We all like get-togethers, right? So that may be something. But you can. I'm going to have a sign-up sheet outside. So if you're interested, you can sign up. If you don't want to sign up, that's fine. When I get these, I'll just put them on the table after church, and you can grab one. So hopefully that might be helpful to you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. And as we continue, again, follow along in our booklet, the next thing we're going to look at is, after reading, is meditating on God's Word. And I agree with Dan, like, you know, we're kind of compartmentalizing these things, but obviously in reality, I find myself sort of just in prayer while I'm reading the Word, and I'm sure you do too. This is just a thing we can remind ourselves that, you know, if we're not receiving enough, maybe we're not praying enough. And if we're not remembering what we're reading, maybe we're not meditating enough. And journaling certainly helps us remember as well. So I asked Jill to come up to share about meditation and journaling. So let's give Jill a little clap.
I have a big enough mouth, but, you know, these are just all tools and what each of us do. And so that's, I'm just going to share from my own experience of how I spend time with the Lord. And it's nothing that, you know, I've just learned over the years from sitting under other godly women and men, my husband, but also other ones, and just my mom as well, who has taught me. So it kind of reminds me of Titus 2, and we can all glean from each other. But the first thing I just want to say is, you know, this all goes hand in hand, and it's definitely prayer and reading the Word and sitting with God. And personally, what I'll just explain what I do on a morning is I just have a place that I know this is where I sit and I spend time and I meet with God. And if, you know, for anyone to have that place, it's just kind of, I know for Alex, he walks. He likes to walk and talk and pray. I like to sit and have coffee and light a candle and say, this is my time I'm setting aside to hear from the Lord. And I love how in John 10, Jesus says that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we can in confidence know that we can hear the Lord's voice. So as you sit in the Word, this is his love letter to us, speaking to us, and we get to know Jesus. I mean, he's the author of this, and he wants us to know him so intimately. And so I try to keep that in mind, even though, you know, you might have thoughts and distractions. And so that's why a journal is key. This is just a little one that I take with me traveling. But you know, every day writing down just even the date, because you want to keep track of what God's saying to you, and it builds upon the next thing he's speaking to you. So I just write down the date, and I start off with, in a journal, just writing, good morning, Father. You know, he's our daddy God, and sitting with him and letting him speak to our hearts, and saying Jesus, and just thinking about the relationship between Jesus and the Father, and then the Holy Spirit, who's, you know, is the spoken word, you know, he speaks to us, and so I'll just interact that way with him, and then I'll just start writing out prayers, because, you know, my mind goes into a million different places, and I start thinking about things, so I have to have, you know, maybe another 3x5 card writing down things of the day to get it out of my thought process, you know, so I can really concentrate and interact with Holy Spirit as I'm reading this living Word of God. And then, so you might do that, and then what I do is I then, you know, I've done different techniques of reading the Bible or tools, and one of them would be what Dan just talked about, going through the Word and using the different ones. And then I found myself getting too ritualistic about it, and finally I have to do this, you know, and I got my reading done. But it's constantly praying, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do now? Where should I go? And so one year I just said, you know what? I'm going to put all the stress of trying to figure out what to do and just say, God, where do you want me to go? And so he would each time, you know, speak to my heart and say, Ephesians. Or, you know, that was the impression I had on my heart. Okay, so I'm going to read the book of Ephesians. When I'm done, you know, I'm like, okay, Lord, where now? And he'll give me the next book. And with that, goes into meditation. And so you read the word, and as I read it, I just, you know, I'm constantly in trying to stay in tune with the Lord, and I'll use cross-references. And, you know, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and richly means to be at home in you. So it's like thinking of being at home, being comfortable with you, and spending time and letting it kind of, you know, what we were learning about wash over us, and just speak truth into our hearts. So, you know, there's a bunch of... you know, cross-references. Some of you in your Bible might have it like down the middle here. And so you'll just go back to another verse, and which I can get into later, this other book that I have. But it will give you all the cross-references that you could go to, that same word is written in the Word of God. And you can sit and just meditate and say, Lord, so what does this mean? Or if there's a word that stands out, I write it down in my journal and I'll say, okay, so what are you trying to say to me? Is there something about me? Or is it to pray for my kids? And you just listen. You know, you can really hear Holy Spirit like in your being, because he lives in here. You know, mm-hmm. He really lives in us. And so then, you know, you may go to that, and then to be able to apply it from there. One thing Chris wrote in the book, in this pamphlet, says marinate in what you received from God. So this is kind of weird, but think of marinating, you know, like a piece of chicken in a marinade, like teriyaki chicken. like, I'll do that. Like, thinking about that, you sit there and you sit in the marinade, and what happens when you're in it for a half hour? Let's say the chicken's in the marinade for a half hour. You taste a little bit like it, but the longer it sits and dwells in that, you know, in the teriyaki, it tastes more like it, and it's stronger, and it just tastes a lot like it even after it's grilled. So, you know, just marinating in the Word and receiving from God, the more you do it, the more you're going to become like Christ. And then maybe you'll say, okay, so what is it? And you write down the personal application of what the Word is to you. There's something else. Oh, and another little tool I'll use is somebody told me a long time ago to write your verses on a 3x5 card. And I remember the summer that I went to Turkey last summer, I had done that for a long time, but I remember Dawn Kennedy. She's like, I have verses that I read all the time, and she pulls them out of her Bible with her 3x5 card here, and I took photocopies of them because I didn't have time to write them all. But I used them when I was in Turkey to read God's promises over me. And so anyway, the other day, Chris asked me to, you know, did I have a cover, because I had to get him a new Bible because this one's kind of falling apart. So I pulled out my old NIV Bible, and out of it came all these 3x5 cards. And I was reminded of my friend Kim Maddox, who had told me, write down every verse the Lord's speaking to you for that day and keep it in your back pocket and pull it out and read it, and just so that you're constantly aware of God's word, and pray it out loud. And so it was just a great reminder, you know, to have a stack of these. And I read through them all, and so many of them spoke to my heart even just the other day to apply. And yeah, and just also just even thinking, I was talking with Kat outside, we were talking about how, you know, the enemy can really make us feel like maybe down on ourselves, or maybe he's speaking things to you that, you know, you just feel like negative words, you know, coming over you, like, well, can you really do that? Are you really, you know, that's not really what you should be doing and live like. And I know somebody else touched on this, but that's condemnation. And there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, you know? So we got to get rid of those thoughts. And this is one tool, and journaling and washing, you know, the word over us is a tool to use to remember and capture those thoughts and make them obedient to what God's word says, so that we live what we're taking in. So that's what I have for those two things.
Great. Thank you, hon. And, you know, I can definitely attest that Jill does that every morning. Like, it's amazing. Like, sometimes she'll come up to me, listen to this, and she'll start sharing. I'm like, yeah, but I'm getting ready for work. And she's like, da, da, da. And she's just, like, just bursting forth like a fountain of something God just showed her. And it really is exciting because so often she'll share something with me that that applies directly to, let's say, Sunday morning's message or something I was just reading. That's what's great about comparing. Dean and I were driving home from Wednesday night's Bible study, and we were talking about Gehazi and some other things. And it's just so cool because it's like that intrigue, like as we're driving home, it's just like, you know, I kind of forget, read about that. And then as he's like opening up the Bible and he's reading it for both of us to kind of remember some things that it's so important to like be sharing also about the word. The prayer team is phenomenal when we pray before the service and up front here. But when we pray, the scriptures are constantly pouring out of this prayer team like it's just woven in their minds and in their hearts, the word of God. Praying in the word of God is just so powerful. It's amazing. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a brief break, say about 5 minutes, get another refreshed cup of coffee, hit the potty, and then we're going to get into real practical ways to study the word, and then even tools. We're going to get into some of these tools and something I love, and we're going to do a live presentation of Blue Letter Bible, and we're going to go through kind of the great benefits that these online tools are. So if you want to take a quick break, let's do that.